This is a replay of the Wednesday night, May 27th WGN show we started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from One VoIP. For the world's best customer service, check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 big hours to spend together. And at the end of the show last night, as has become routine, there were several of you hanging on. And I always say, call early. Because usually in the first hour for sure, sometimes the second as well, calls are light. So if you didn't get on last night, or if you just want to get on, I'd love that. 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. So I continued to itch after the show and discovered, you know, I call them no-see-ums, which they have a real name, though. They're biting midges. And I've got them. And so I'm looking all over the internet for, you know, what can I do to prevent this? Bottom line is nothing. You're stuck. I'll get to that. But I found it interesting. Came across an article that actually engineer Bob had sent to me, and I thought it was somewhat interesting. Is certain drinks make humans more attractive to mosquitoes? And by the way, whatever is attractive to mosquitoes apparently is also attractive to these biting midges. It's the female of both that bite you, as far as that goes. But as I was hopeful, I thought, oh, good, I'm going to find something that I can do so that I will be protected. And then it said, no, any type of alcohol. And I thought, I don't drink alcohol. No type. And so there went that. So looking further, of course, you discover that it has to do with what you sweat or how much you sweat and, you know, how much carbon dioxide is coming off your body and everything else. But the interesting thing about midges is they also, and I remembered this from the last time I got this infestation, they also like dark clothing. So, of course, I've been wearing light-colored clothing all day. And, of course, is it wear a hat or a head net? Well, the head net's out. But in the meantime, the big thing is to avoid moist areas. But, you know, I live in the desert, okay? I don't have moist areas. I don't have a swimming pool, thank God. But something is causing these things to come back. In the studio, of course. I don't know why this particular room. And not in the other studio in Globe, just this one. And last time it was about 2 weeks I fought, and then they went away, and I thought, oh, good, it's over. Wrong. They were just regrouping. Apparently, they breed incessantly and hatch quickly, and good news is don't live long, but nonetheless, something's causing this, because last night I got, like, easily 24 bites on one hand, and apparently not all that unusual. So I'm back to swathing myself in the pesticide. That's right, and feeling the worst for it, I do believe. But nonetheless, that's the deal. And they also say avoid secluded areas. I'm not in a secluded area, like a dark alley. No, I'm in the studio. Sometimes it just sounds like a dark alley. Oh, and I love stop smelling so good. Yeah, forget the deal. deodorant, forget the perfume, forget the fabric softeners. You know, I've done everything as far as that goes, and as I say, swathed myself in repellent, and apparently that tends to work when I'm actually using it. But, you know, then you wonder, you have transdermal and all that, how much bug repellent should I be using before I start to worry? So that's the deal there. But when I saw Engineer Bob chiming in with, don't drink anything alcoholic, well, yeah, none to worry, not doing that anyway. And then there are those who think that your blood type makes you more prone or what have you, and it depends on what area you're in. That's certainly true for mosquitoes. When I moved to Arizona many years ago, the first year I got welts that literally were from my elbow to my wrist. I mean, they were just huge. And, of course, they were misdiagnosed 6 ways to Sunday. But bottom line is the next year they're a bit smaller and then a bit smaller. They're still ridiculously large, but nothing like that. So sometimes it's just getting used to them. But the midges, man, this is mosquitoes all my life, let's face it. But midges, this is the first time. And I lived many years in Florida. You'd think that no-see-ums would be right on my radar. But apparently they weren't on my radar when I was there, and they are now. So they say there is midge control spray. I guess we'll be going after that next. But I just can't imagine how the deal is that they virtually disappeared. And, you know, they say don't question the good things, so I didn't. And they're back! All right, so that's my run-in with the biting midges, and whatever else is on your mind is going to be just fine. 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. We kick it off with Victor in Silver Spring. So, Victor, how you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling a lot better. I'm still waiting to hear from Dr. Goldberg concerning putting me back together.
Oh, man.
Anyhow, my friend's birthday came up, so I bought him a Sea Crane Skywave radio.
Ooh, how nice.
Which he thoroughly enjoys. That's what my caregiver told me.
Yeah.
Now, a friend of mine had one, and unfortunately, it's not blind friendly. So, because I tried to operate his radio, I just couldn't. The buttons were way too small, and it was hard for me to operate it. But fortunately, I do have another Sea Crane radio, the SW model that I bought about, back in 2010, I think it was. They're still working. I got 5 of them scattered throughout the house.
Oh, great. That's great. Yeah, now, you know, before, I think, I don't know if it was you or not, but we were talking about the pocket radio, and I said I didn't think they were blind friendly. However, both Fran and Gary and others set me straight, saying, no, that pocket really is very friendly as far as that goes. But I can see the CC Skywave 2. I know how small that radio is, and I know how small the little, tactile knob buttons, if you will, are. So I can see where that could be a challenge.
Yeah.
But I'm glad he likes it.
Oh, I'm sure he's already playing with it.
Oh, good.
He's really eager to hear the pilots talking about landing.
Right, yeah, the VHF band, yeah. Air traffic control operates on both UHF and VHF, depending on where and all that. And these pocket radios have the VHF band of that. And it is kind of neat.
Yeah. I used to have a scanner. I don't remember the model, but it was back in the, I guess, 90s.
Uh-huh.
No, maybe it was in the 70s.
Okay.
And I really loved that scanner. I could hear the police, the fire.
Yeah.
And then an amateur radio friend of mine came over and got the 2-meter band for me.
Right.
And at that particular time, there was an amateur radio club that would rebroadcast the shuttle mission, so I was able to hear the astronauts.
Oh, nice. Nice. Well, unfortunately, as you probably know, increasingly all these scanners are encrypted. And so the old ones don't work. And some of the new ones, they're really pricey, and they're really, really hard to program. Now, I had one of these, and I was having trouble programming it, and then one of my employees stole it, and I wasn't too sorry. But he actually walked out the door with it, and I was like, well, I guess it's not my problem anymore. But when they're using some of this encryption, it's a bitch as far as that goes. And so, you know, and of course, you know, there is a way to intercept and decrypt, if you will, and it's illegal in most states. So a lot of the signals that you want to hear are not readily accessible. Now, the 2-meter handband is, that's wide open.
Yes, because I my next-door neighbor was an amateur radio buff. He had his station set up. And I remember one time, reception was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what happened, but I'm in Maryland, okay?
Uh-huh.
I was getting, I got Channel 38 and Channel 56 from Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And it was coming in fairly clear. It would fade in and out, of course.
Yeah.
But you talk about a super drop.
Nice.
And then I stayed home from work that day because I wanted to see that everything faded out around 11 o'clock. And then came the e-skip.
Yeah.
And I started getting, I got a Channel 3 in Springfield, Missouri.
Uh-huh.
You know, fades in and out. I used to call it shortwave radio when I was 11 years old, the way it was fading in and out.
Yeah, sporadic E is called sporadic for a reason, unfortunately. And
yes.
I know just how you feel. When you're hitting it really good, you don't want to go to work. It's like, you know, this is only going to last a few hours, but damn, you don't want to miss it.
Yeah, and my all-time favorite catch, I think it was on May 14th, 2010, I believe. I got some of the skips on tape. I taped them.
Mm-hmm.
And my all-time favorite catch was VOCM in St. John's, Newfoundland.
Yeah. Nice. Nice.
And they featured a year in your ear.
Oh, I like it.
1981.
Oh, I like it.
And then I got another station from Corner Brook, Newfoundland. And at the time, I was a member of the National Radio Club DX Audio Service with Fred Vobey.
Uh-huh.
And I sent him a tape of the mystery station that I got from Newfoundland. He sent it off to the worldwide FMTV DX Club. And it was determined that I was getting another station in Corner Brook, Newfoundland.
Oh, wow. Okay. And that's a lot of fun. Well, as you know, the Magic Band is channel 2 through 6. It's rare that you're getting it's rare that you're getting them up above that. You know, when you get a 12 or a 13, that's like, wow, this is the moment, but it's usually 2 to 6.
Yes. And then sometimes, if conditions are right, I was on the FM band and for about maybe half an hour I got every single station in Omaha, Nebraska.
Right. See, that's the thing. With tropoducting, you usually will get stations from one area, like at the time I was driving through D.C. and got all of Little Rock and all of Tampa and nowhere else. And as you know, you're sitting there in Omaha and you're listening to things that if you actually were in Omaha, you wouldn't want to hear at all. But the fact that you're in Montgomery County, Maryland, man, this is just the most enticing thing you've ever heard. So it's so funny.
I did get some letters from the stations I received.
Yeah.
Because I remember in 1967, June 24th and 25th were really hot.
Ah.
And I got channels 2 and 6 from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Okay.
I wrote to them. Channel 6 sent me a postcard.
Good.
Thanking me for my reception report.
Yeah, QSL
card. Channel 2 sent me a form letter.
Oh.
Down at the bottom, it says, sorry we had to send a form letter, but we have received so many reports such as you. Mm. Well, you were getting stations in Oklahoma. People here were getting stations on the East Coast.
Right, right. Yeah, that's the way ducting works. Absolutely, that's true. But that's interesting that they resorted to a form letter. Of course, today you probably wouldn't hear from anybody because there's no one working there. But back in the day, QSL
today
cards were great.
You can't do anything
right.
Because
yeah, well, of course not.
Digital.
Yeah, of course not.
And Nick told me that some of these channels are on the low end of the UHF band,
right,
so
right.
You really can't DX anymore
no,
on the TV.
No, you can't, but you still can on FM.
Oh, yes. But the thing that really ticks me off now, there's no empty spaces on the FM band. It's all taken up by these low-powered stations.
Right, or translators. You're 100% right about this. I know. Yes, drives me crazy, too.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'll let you go.
Glad
I just
to talk
wanted
to you.
Put my 2 cents worth in tonight.
Great. It's good to hear from you. Glad you're feeling better, Victor. Keep me posted.
Okay, thank you.
All right,
you.
Thanks. All right, so speaking of the C. Crane Company, the CC Pocket, it's a great radio. I just was on their website, and if you haven't signed up for email from them or anything, I think it's like 7% off or something, but you get a discount. But the bottom line is if you don't have a CC Pocket, it is a wonderful companion, whether you're putting it in your pocket or, in my case, I throw it in the purse. It's no bigger than a cell phone. And who wants a cell phone anyway? Okay, it's a little thicker than a cell phone, but not much. And it is one of the most popular radios on the market today. Of course, like everything that Bob Crane has developed, it has terrific reception, terrific AM and FM. And like you don't ordinarily see in those old transistors you used to carry around, you've got a light, a dial, you've got a digital readout, you got a clock, you got a timer, you got an alarm, you got some presets, 5 presets as well. But what's really unbeatable is the reception. And for its small size, it sounds good. But they also include, free of charge, some earbuds that are terrific. Just sounds like $1 million. It's just great. They're easy to operate, and now I find from your input, they are very blind-friendly. And so makes a great emergency radio, too, because it's got a lighted dial, a NOAA weather band, one alert. Lightweight, durable, easy to hold, rubber sides, pretty much indestructible because I'm hard on my toys and mine's still working. So I think it's just a great little radio. Now, if you go to ccradio.com, you can look at the CC Pocket Radio. But if you can't go to ccradio.com because you can't go anywhere, you can call them. They've got terrific customer service, 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. They'll answer all your questions and you can order right by phone. But if you can go online, the world is your oyster. And right now, like I say, there is a discount, and I should look at that again to see what that is. And, well, it didn't come up this time. Oh, well. But you can check it out and check out that Pocket Radio. Yeah, the CC Pocket. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, Carl Carlton, 1981, 20th century. She's a bad mamma jamma. You know, that was produced and written by Leon Haywood. Yeah, Mr. It's Got to Be Mellow. What a great song that was. In any event, that was one of Eduardo's two requests, and he'll hear both of them. And, Linda is in Richland Park, and I do want to talk to her because right after the news, actually, don't go away, Linda. She requested two records. One of them she's going to hear next, but the other one, I'm having trouble with. Yeah, she wanted, I don't know. She wanted Clarence Carter and Scratch My Back. But, of course, you know, we've certainly got Scratch My Back, but not by Clarence Carter. So I'm still looking, but she'll get Patches next, right after the news, right here on WGN Radio.
I was born and raised down in Alabama on a farm way back up in the woods. I was so ragged that folks used to call me Patches. Papa used to tease me about it, cause deep down inside he was hurt cause he'd done all he could. My papa was a great old man. I can see him with a shovel in his hand. See, education he never had. He did wonders when the times got bad. The little money from the crops he raised barely paid the bills we made. Oh, life had kicked him down to the ground. When he tried to get up, life would kick him back down. One day, Papa called me to his dying bed, put his hands on my shoulders, and in tears he said, Patches, I'm depending on you, son, to pull the family through. My son, it's all left up to you. Days later, Papa passed away, and I became a man that day. So I told Mama I was gonna quit school, but she said that was Daddy's strictest rule. So every morning before I went to school, I fed the chickens and I chopped wood too. Sometimes I felt that I couldn't go on. I wanted to leave, just run away from home. But I would remember what my daddy said, with tears in his eyes on his dying bed. He said, Patches, I'm depending on you, son.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yep, Clarence George Carter, who sadly no longer with us, died earlier this month. Born blind in Montgomery, Alabama, a fixture in Alabama as far as that goes, and got a music degree from Alabama State. But what's most interesting about him is he arranged his own music in Braille. So that was fascinating. But what's most interesting about that song, I think, is General Johnson wrote it. Yeah, of the showman and chairman of the board. And John asked me the other day, this name's not General, is it? I said, absolutely it is. His parents named him General Norman Johnson. That's it. First, middle, last. General Norman Johnson. Which was not all that uncommon years ago. And kind of giving him an air of I don't know what. But sometimes it'd be royalty or whatever. But anyway, that's what he was. But General Johnson refused to sing Patches live. And a couple things I asked him when I ran into him in Myrtle Beach. One was, I had heard he wouldn't sing Patches live, so what's the deal? And he said, it's the wrong atmosphere. People are drinking, they're laughing, they're having a good time. It's not that kind of a song. I just don't do it. I said, okay, the other thing is, I want to know about your proclivities. What's this 39-21-46? And that was the follow-up to It Will Stand on Minute Record. And he just burst out laughing. He said, you know, it was label copy mistake. He said, what I wrote, and if you listen to it, and sure enough, I did, he was right. He said, I wrote 39-21-40 shape. And the secretary transcribing it thought it was 46, and that's the way it shipped. So, and what a great song that was, too. All right, with all that in mind, it was Linda in Richland Park who had requested Clarence Carter doing Patches. All right, but before we go any further, Linda, you wanted Clarence Carter doing Scratch My Back, and I can't find it. Not on an album, not on a single. You sure you don't mean the Slim Harpo version?
No, I don't mean Scratch My Back. I mean I'm Stroking. That's
I know Stroking. Absolutely. That was on the charts for a year.
That's the song I was talking about. I'm Stroking. That's
Stroking.
What he'd be saying.
Oh, yeah.
And back to these little things that's biting your hands.
Yes.
I don't know what they are.
No see.
Have you ever tried Skin So Soft?
Yes.
It's like an oil.
Absolutely. Yes, from Avon. Yes.
Right.
Doesn't do
it
a thing
work.
For... No. Not. It feels good, but no. In fact...
Don't kill it. Don't keep the bugs away.
It does not.
Well, all right. You got to come back with some real good stuff that they use in the country.
Oh, you're right.
Garlic juice.
Oh.
You got... You, that garlic juice, my cousin swears that.
Okay.
You can buy garlic in the store, you know, little tiny bottles.
But yeah.
Get enough garlic juice and put it in some type of oil and just always your hands. Put it on your hands and your arms. They can't stand that garlic. They will stay away.
Or so will everybody else. Yeah, absolutely. All right.
You'll be in the studio, so you're safe in the studio.
That's right. It won't matter. John's not even in the room. All right. So I am.
Right. If it bothers, sometimes, like, some people, it gets so bad, they'll just rub it in their hands, right, the juice, and just rub across your hair and your ears, because they sometimes get bad biting. That garlic juice. You let me know how that garlic juice works for you. You can buy it in a.
Oh yeah, no, I know. You can get them in the little jar things. Absolutely.
Jar.
Yes. In fact, I think I have some in my refrigerator. Truth be known. So I never thought about putting it on me, but I will right about now. I'll let you know.
Yeah, let me know about that garlic juice. Okay.
All right, and you'll hear stroking next.
All right, thank
you. Thanks.
Appreciate it. And I hope this will help your itching.
Me too. Thanks for calling.
All
right.
Love you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
You too. All right. So, I'll try anything. Yeah, and, of course, once you start to scratch, you scratch everywhere. Yeah, you itch in places where you didn't know you had places. And, right, and summer hadn't even officially started yet, but here we are. Floyd is in Iowa. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, Raleigh, yeah, thanks. Hey, there's a tune. It's either Louis Jordan or Louis Jordan. Ain't nobody here but a chicken.
Yeah, it's Louis Jordan.
Now, if you can get that. And also, about your midges, your itch.
Yeah.
The thing that's always helped me out, you know, I'll be outside in the lawn, though. It's that DEET.
Oh, yeah, no. You know,
25-30%.
I don't do well with DEET.
You got to watch out for that, too, for a couple reasons. You're in the studio there with all that plastic equipment. I found this out from experience. You spray it on your skin, I did, and on my clothes.
Yeah.
I went to grab the handle on the accelerator, plastic. I did that repeatedly, and at the end of the day, I noticed it had melted off.
Oh, yeah.
That DEET will destroy plastic equipment.
Yeah, it absolutely will, and it melts plastic. And
it's right on the label. It tells you that before, but I didn't read the whole thing through.
Yeah.
I just went out there and got going on it.
Literally.
At the end of the day, I found out, there it is right there in the warnings.
And
right
from that standpoint, it makes a good way to, if you're trying to do things, it's actually kind of good. It can be a solvent that will break the bonds. You know, it's like a plasticizer effect. So if you're wanting to make things flexible, it'll do that.
Yeah. You let me know how you come out on those midges or whatever you got, those no-see-ums. I want to find out what you used on them, if you ever find a cure for it.
Good luck. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yes, I will. Well, I'll try the garlic. Why not? What's worse is that I was feeling a little better earlier, and I don't know if I'm getting more bites through the stuff I use that doesn't have DEET but has something else or whatever, or if in fact that's bringing the bites back. I don't know. But, yeah, sitting here with two new ones. Oh, good. 888-876-5593. Like I say, summer isn't even here yet. So that'll be just a joy. And sure, Louis Jordan was great. He was just terrific. One of the most creative guys ever. And I don't think got his due historically. And why he fell out of favor, not personally, but his music style, I don't know, because I thought he was just terrific. There's so many things. Five guys named Mo, and on and on and on. So, but Ain't Nobody Here But Us Chickens was actually a big hit for him. He was born around 1908, and he was king of the jukebox, because in the late 30s, really through the 50s, they released all these 78s that got more play on jukeboxes probably than anyone else. He was known for alto sax and clarinet, but the reality, it was the lyrics. And he began in big band era, but what happened was it was Louis Jordan and the Timpani Five. With five people, he could sound like an entire big band. I mean, really. And it was great. And of course, the syncopated vocals were just wonderful. And as far as King of the 78s, you betcha. And he was playing from the 20s on, and a really a big deal. But then suddenly, you know, here comes, you know, top 40 and all that, and not so much. And it's a real shame because he was, by 1953, about the time that rock and roll is starting to emerge, he was not doing well. And, man, I just don't get it, and as far as that goes. And then, of course, here comes within a decade the IRS. And they did a tax lien against him, and he pretty much had to sell everything to you know, at fire sale prices to do that. And you know, the deal is that actually it was Ike Turner who got him $20,000 or something, but for the most part it was not good. He died of a heart attack in 1975 in Los Angeles. By then, no one even knew, but he was so good. Maybe we'll play some of that. You know, everybody remembers Big Joe Turner, and rightfully so. But how about Louis Jordan? All right, so ain't nobody here but us chickens. Yeah, one of many, and we'll get that. But we'll get Strokin' next right here on WGN Radio.
When I start making love, I don't just make love. I be stroking. That's what I be doing. I be stroking. I stroke it to the east, and I stroke it to the west. I stroke it to the woman that I love the best. I be stroking. Let me ask you something. What time of the day do you like to make love? Have you ever made love just before breakfast? Have you ever made love while you watch the Late Late Show? Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever made love on a couch? Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever made love on the back seat of a car? I remember one time I made love on the back seat of a car. And the police came and shined his light on me, and I said, I'm stroking. That's what I'm doing. I be stroking. I stroke it to the east, and I stroke it to the west. And I stroke it to the woman that I love the best. I be stroking.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That record came out in 1986 on Ichiban. That became a beach music classic. And if you're wondering why I find that hilarious, beach music is, of course, the official dance of South Carolina. But yes, they have one. And maybe other states do, too. I don't know. Some have official songs. Why not official dances? But in any event, it's actually almost a high school sport, not stroking beach music, okay? And so these kids would be doing the shag, you know, the beach music dance, in competitions, no less. And so here comes the mid-70s, and you've got these, like, 15-year-old girls or 12-year-old girls and their little dancing partner, and they're dancing to Clarence Carter's Strokin'. And it's just like, man, somebody really ought to watch The Choice, don't you think? In any event, Brian and Seneca, welcome back to WGN Radio.
How are you doing other than the no-see-ums?
Yeah, that's enough, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd say it'd be more than enough.
Yeah.
First thing, I was checking up on my request from, I guess, 3 weeks ago now.
Yeah, let's see. Which one?
That'd be Nat King Cole's Somewhere Along the
Way.
Yeah,
actually, I have that up for tonight. I also have Jan Garber and his orchestra doing Babyface, you know, both old songs for Billy Bob. So I have both of you on tonight, actually. How about that?
Okay, and the new request I had was the Seekers. The Seekers, I'll Never Find Another You.
Yes, yes, the Sheepherder's Lament. Okay. So, good enough. You betcha. We'll do it for you. I don't know if we'll get the Seekers on tonight, but we're definitely getting Nat on because he was supposed to be on last night, but I talked too much.
Well, that happens. And yeah. You mentioned on your webpage that the calls seem to vanish. But the reason the calls vanish is because everybody was too busy listening to you talking to other radio greats.
No, you see, the thing is, people like Johnny save me when the calls are low. He'll call and we'll talk about radio, you know, but basically, and I appreciate more than anybody would know when people do that. But had there been calls, our conversation with Johnny would have been quite short. But in any event, happens, the part that bothers me is I, you know, when it comes time to say sayonara and goodnight, people just all hanging on. I'm like, call earlier. So tonight people did.
Yeah, and you were mentioning scanning, radio scanning a little bit ago when I was doing something in the other room, and I didn't quite get all of it.
We're just talking about DXing, and, you know, of course, AM DXing, very common. But FM DXing, thanks to tropoducting in the summer, can be very interesting.
Yeah, that part I caught in the TV tropoducting, which is... Certainly more an accident than anything else on the old analog TV frequency.
It's all an accident. Yeah, that spurious E. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because the picture, of course, as you know, the picture went out on AM in the shortwave band, and the voice went out on the FM band. When I was a very young Marine, we used to listen to one of two or three TV stations on our tactical radios, because I believe it's channels 6 and 7. It's been a long time.
Well, the FM band is between 6 and 7, but it's actually much closer to 6 than 7. So down there in the non-com band, you can always get 6.
7 were in the military band.
Yeah, yep. But 6, absolutely. Any FM radio picks up 6.
But,
well, did. Yeah. Past tense, but yes. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, because I'm scanning for some stuff. The cell phones were never supposed to be scanned, but they just didn't think to make it illegal until some politicians got... burned by other politicians scanning the cell phone frequencies.
Well,
illegal, and I say rightly so.
Yeah, before we called them cell phones, when the first proliferation of mobile phones, yes, they were very easy to scan. And my favorite call was, this is absolutely true, and remember this like it was yesterday. Some guy on his mobile phone calls Cedars-Sinai Hospital, wife's room. She sounds like her jaws are wired shut. Oh, and she said, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. I got to work late tonight, but I'll be there to see you tomorrow. He hangs up the phone, calls a woman, and says, chill the wine. I'll be right there. So I loved that. I thought I was hooked right about then. But that was more, like I say, mobile phones before we really saw cell technology in any real way.
Yeah, the cell technology is scannable, too.
Yeah.
It's
not as easy.
It's not as easy. And as far as scanning, police radios, a lot of public service radios have gone to digital, and also above and beyond moving into the 800 megahertz band, which is a different band from where they normally operated in. They also have what's called trunking.
Right, the trunking is a bitch. That was the radio I had, because you have to program them if you want to get around trunking. And so I was just having just a hardest time. They're expensive, too. And then when the woman who was doing news stole my radio, I was like, okay, it's a sign from God. You know, I just didn't bother. So, yeah, trunking is a bitch to program.
Yeah, we have. In my last job before I retired from the service, my last two jobs, we had one of those uber highbrow scanners as part of our communications.
Right, exactly.
We never used it, but we had it.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of them. I remember, I think mine was a Uniden, but it might have not been, but could have been a Bearcat, but I think it was a Uniden. I think it was like $750 or something. But and as I say, they make it, I love the way they make it easy. It sounds like it's easy to program. No, just no. So I didn't mind it disappeared.
Yeah, and you also mentioned the weather radio. I noticed that you actually do have a weather radio station as one of your neighbors in Globe.
I'm not surprised.
But I still listen to it once in a while. The station that covers where I live doesn't quite reach into the valley where I actually live. One of these days I'll get out of the cheap seats and treat myself to a Sea Crane radio, and that might have a little better pull, but I have to do magic tricks out of that submarine movie with Kelsey Grammer in order to pick up the station.
Yeah. Yeah, no, actually, no other radio in Globe. It's really easy because, I'm LP1, so I gotta rebroadcast that stuff when it's a warning. And very, very easy to pick up. One of the easiest things I pick up. So, yes.
Yeah, where I really got addicted to it was a number of years ago, before I retired from the service, I had a large touring motorcycle that I rode a lot.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes the least bothersome and most useful entertainment on this thing, because it was big enough it had a stereo radio on it, but this particular factory radio included the weather band, so I would dial up the weather radio and just have it going as a chattering voice in the background while I drove down the road.
Good. Works for me.
And if something nasty was going on, it would tell me about it, because a lot of my riding I did at night. And, of course, the amazing thing about clouds at night is that you generally don't see them. And if you see them, something is horribly wrong.
Yes, right, exactly. You betcha. All right. Well, thanks for calling. It's always good to hear from you.
Same here. Talk to you later.
Okay, bye. All right, so there you have it, 888-876-5593. We've got a couple more hours of this, and I think a couple more minutes right now. Let's see what Bob from Willowbrook, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, first of all, thanks for playing my request the other day.
Sure.
Number two, I didn't request a song by the Renegades. I wanted a song titled Renegades by Ex-Ambassadors.
Okay, I don't think I have this.
Okay, well, yeah. I'm not surprised. It's a more recent thing, maybe last 10 or 15 years.
Yeah, I probably don't know. The reason I thought you meant the Renegades is because you had asked for the Searchers, and the Renegades were, in the same period of time. So I figured, okay, he wants the Renegades.
Okay.
So that's where I
not familiar.
Came. Oh, yeah, you don't want to be. So I thought to myself, which one could that possibly have been? And that's why I mentioned that. But, yes, okay, so you want me to, in fact, find this thing. And
if you can.
I can do that, yes. I just wrote it down. There we are. Okay, so and we'll put you down underneath it so I know who requested this, and I'll look for it.
Okay, now as to the itching, now I don't know how to keep the demon midges away, but I've had skin irritations too, and I find an ice pack will really calm things down in the form of a bag of frozen teas.
Yeah. Yeah, that it's not long-term success, but you're right.
No.
That's not bad. And
it'll calm it down and maybe keep tamp down the inflammation.
I may go for that during the news. That's a good reminder. Thank you for that.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. You too. All right, so there you have it. And we'll talk to Fran after the news and Mike in Elmwood Park, and there's room for you too and all your requests coming up on WGN Radio.
I used to walk with you along the avenue. Our hearts were carefree and gay. How could I know I'd lose you somewhere along the way? The friends we used to know would always smile hello. No love like our love, they'd say. Then love slipped through our fingers somewhere along the way. I should forget, but with the loneliness of night, I start remembering everything. You're gone and yet there's still a feeling deep inside that you will always be part of me. So now I look for you along the avenue, and as I wander I pray that someday soon I'll find you somewhere along the way.
WGN Radio, I'm Ronnie James. There he is. Brian and Seneca requested it. He gets it. Nat King Cole, Somewhere Along the Way, 1952 on Capitol. Yeah, shellac N45 RPM. So, what are we doing here? Mike in Elmwood Park, welcome back to WGN Radio. And
Raleigh, I know I requested for my wife and I for our wedding anniversary. I believe it was Since I Don't Have You by the Skyliners.
Okay, was tonight the night? Okay, I'll play it next.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, and I've also got you down for the Beach Boys Shutdown and Little Caesar and the Romans, those oldies but goodies.
Well, I know you're busy there, so.
No, well, that doesn't matter. Because I have that written down, but how did I miss that was...
It happens. You have a
here we are. Here it is. Since I Don't Have You, Skyliners, May 27, Mike and Elmwood Park anniversary. All right, so I don't know why I didn't see that, but we'll get it on next.
All right, thanks, Raleigh, and we got you on tonight. We got you on every night.
Okay, so how many U's at the end of Since I Don't Have You?
36.
No, there's 13, but that's pretty good. Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
All right, so yeah, that used to be a trivia question, and happy to do that for Mike. Plus, it's a great song, and not only the Skyliners. I think Lenny Welch did a wonderful job with that, but of course, the Skyliners were the big hit in 1959 on Calico, a label that Art LeBeau later bought. That's why he played that so much, I do think. In any event, what are we doing here before I lose sight of everything? All right, we've got Chris in Greenwood. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, how's it going, Raleigh?
All right, turn off your radio.
Is it off?
Okay, you tell me. I just don't want to hear me in the background. Okay, so good deal.
Okay.
So we're going to talk about shortwave radio, are we?
Yep.
All right. CHU
in Canada.
Yeah, but in the U.S., I can think of six privately owned off the top of my head. How many can you think of in the U.S.?
Because I heard that it's a time signal in Canada, just like WWV.
Yeah.
They operate off 3330.
Yeah.
I heard they going off in June. That's what I heard.
Okay. Well, I think probably the most interesting, unless you're into religious programming, is BCQ out of Monticello, Maine. And they're running 500,000 watts, and it's there's some political talk, but there's also music and other programming. They call it the Planet. And that's, of course, WWCR, the big daddy these days as far as religious programming.
WBCQ.
WBCQ in Monticello.
Yeah, I love Mayor and Zadok on there.
Okay, see, there you go. And WRMI in Miami, of course. It's not in Miami. It's in Oakland.
I love the Legends.
Okay.
I love requesting the song.
So there you go. And, you got KVOH in Simi Valley, Los Angeles suburb. But again, that's mostly religion and mostly in Spanish religion. And WTWW outside of Nashville in Lebanon, Tennessee, that's also, as far as I know, all religion, leap of faith. And INB in Red Lion, which is, I think, WINB is the oldest continuously operating private shortwave radio station in America. And it actually is only 50,000 watts.
What frequency they on?
Well, it's shortwave. They're on many frequencies. You know how that works.
Most of them are religious.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's correct.
And they don't show sports, have sports on there hardly.
Well, they're basically dollar a holler radio stations. You know, they're catering to people who buy the time, and preachers are famous for buying signals.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, absolutely.
Yes. Yeah, especially like out of the country.
There was a guy in Opelika, Alabama in the 80s, and he applied for and got NDXE and raised money, too, but he never got it on the air. But, yeah, Dixon Norman was his name. He never got it on the air. I wonder whatever happened to him. But, yeah, he raised the money and all that, but never went on.
Shortwave is more expensive than AM.
Obviously, it's more expensive to operate because of the power. So, yeah, Harry Dixon Norman. Here he is. Now, what do we? No, that's an old article. I wonder if the guy's still alive. But NDXE was he was a kid actually when he was doing that. So I don't know whatever became of that. But the bottom line is it never got on the air. Oh, here it says Dixon Norman passed away in 2018.
She passed away.
I still have a pocket calendar saying NDXE that he sent me. And probably the most widely publicized shortwave station that never existed. I must admit that I wrote about him in Billboard, too. So, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, there you go. Yes, but, you know, in America, shortwave does not command great audiences. Now, you do have some political talk and, you know, conspiratorial shows and stuff like that. That you've always had. Alex Jones used to be on shortwave a lot. I don't know if he still is. I don't know what's going on with him. But
I heard it last year. I'm on 4840.
Okay. Well, there you go. So, yes, nothing new there.
It's like AM. They got to have a lot of money to keep them going.
Well, depends on how much wattage you're talking about. Not necessarily, but what's happening with AM is AM directional stations that had multi-tower arrays, very often the land is worth more than the facility at this point. So they sell the land and they either look for another place to perch the towers, which maybe they do or maybe they don't, or they hand back the license to the FCC. That's been going on since the 80s.
Like CRS, like they got this huge land and a big tower there that costs money more than the building.
Well, it depends on the circumstance. I think the first major station I know that turned back the license because they wanted to sell the land to somebody was a Jefferson Pilot Station, WBIG in Greensboro, and that was the mid 80s.
Oh yeah, Jefferson Pilot, the thing when it comes to TV.
Well, sure, because Jeffersonics and WBT-TV and all that, of course.
Yep, Channel 3 and CSE out of Charleston and BTW out of Myrtle Beach used to be owned by Jefferson Pilot.
Yep, absolutely, and more. But that was huge. And
they showed their sport, like Jefferson Pilot Sports.
Yeah.
So that was a big syndicator.
Right. And and Jeffersonics did a lot of the production on that. So absolutely. So there you have it.
Yeah,
yes. One Julian Price Place, Charlotte, North Carolina. Remember it well.
Oh yeah. Well, what if AM station air a high school sport and a college sport at the same night on Friday?
Well, you're always seeing that in smaller markets. Because smaller markets depend upon play-by-play high school sports for revenue. And very often the guy who owns the, you know, store on the corner, he has a kid who's playing. So, of course, he's sponsoring the games. And, you know, the guy who's got the tire shop, his kid is playing, that kind of stuff. So, of course, for small market, high school sports is big. And some of it's now online.
Yeah, because I found out, like, this coming fall that Emerald versus my high school alma mater play Saluda High, and Clemson got a night game at 10:30 against California on the West Coast on September the 25th.
Okay.
And if they play both of them at one time, then if you own AM, then I think you ought to look.
Well, and there's a lot of sports deals where when there's a conflict, one of the games goes to another station, and that's very common. So there's
But we have an FM transmitter that does that. Well, they operate AM and FM simulcastly.
Okay, well,
so it's best to go to FM at night and avoid the AM, because you know they have to lower their power down.
In some cases, yes. It depends on the frequency and what's involved with the license. But, yeah, typical small market stuff. But, anyway, always good to hear from you, Chris. Thank you, thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. All right. CRS airs it.
Okay, good. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, we'll get to Fran in Austin next. Oh, we've got an update from Jim in Richmond, and Brian with a Y in Florida is checking in. All that and more coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Big happy anniversary to Mike in Elmwood Park and his wife. Yes, 13 U's at the end of these, in case you're ever playing trivia. We can count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. All right, so that's the deal on that. But I'll tell you, that was 58. 15 years later, Lenny Welch redid it, you know, which is interesting because, of course, his big hit was Since I Fell for You, which I thought was maybe more of an anniversary song, but okay. And I thought the Lenny Welch version was just great.
When you walk down on me, in walk the misery, and it's been here since then. And I don't have hopes and dreams, and I don't have plans and schemes. I don't have
happy anniversary to Mike in Elmwood Park. Yeah. Next year, maybe Since I Fell for You. But nonetheless, it's a great song either way. All right. And I think I miscounted on my Skyliners. But yeah, gave one of the U's two numbers. But it is 13. You can count them down yourself. So Fran in Austin, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. Yep, it is 13. I counted that a long time ago.
Yeah, exactly. And it comes up, and it absolutely comes up in trivia contests.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Boy, if that would have come up on yours, I would have gotten it right away.
Yeah.
I like to do weird stuff like that, like count how many times, oh, You know, there's several songs I've done that on.
Sure.
But anyway, I might be losing what's left of my mind. In fact, I probably am. But I thought I heard last week you play a version of Scratch My Back. It wasn't the one that we usually hear. And I thought it was by Clarence Carter. And it said, you know, I love it when you scratch my back and something. And it was the night you were playing Linda's Request.
Well, it's not the title. So let's see. Lyrics with lyrics include Scratch My Back. Let's see. Yeah, because I went crazy with that, too, trying to find it. But
And when you were saying that, when Linda was on,
I said, okay.
I know I heard that.
Yeah, Scratch My Back and Mumble in My Ear.
That's it. Yeah.
Did. You're right. I did play that. God, that's terrible. I don't even know it. All right.
I remember it because I liked it so much.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, I did. I did absolutely. And I forgot about that because I managed not to write it down on the rundown. So yeah, God, it's terrible. I absolutely don't know what records I own. That's really the truth, and now everybody knows it. But Scratch My Back and Mumble in My Ear. Yeah.
Sorry to out you like that.
Oh no, please do. No, you're not losing your mind. Mine up and left me a long, long time ago.
Oh, mine too. You know, and then. Today I went and had one of those stupid accidents. You know when you bash your hand really hard on a granite counter?
Oh God,
it hurts.
Oh no kidding. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you
are. Okay.
Yeah, granite is absolutely unforgiving. We'll pick it up there after the news right here on WGN Radio.
As humble as a lamb, girl, when I'm in your arms, you got that magic touch, baby, that sets off my love alarm. Every time you love me, baby, you put me under your spell. Make me lose control of my body, but I like the way you do your thing so well, baby. I love the way you scratch my back, yeah, and whisper in my ear.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I don't know if Rick Hall was bored that day or if he just really loves those sound effects, but it was produced at Fame. And yes, indeed, not only thanks to Fran for reminding me that I'm out of my mind, but we kind of knew that. But also a big thank to Dick E., who is in Mile City, Montana, who's going to call us one night, I can just tell, who found the show. And he remembered their song, too. And worse yet, yeah, Red Atlantic right here, Big as Life. Oh, well. Yeah, what else is on this deck? So, yes. Well, you know, I cleaned it the other day when Ruth called because I had time, but it's a mess again. Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, I was bending over to pick up something, and I just, like, really whacked my hand right on the edge of that granite counter.
Oh, no. Granite is unforgiving, I'm telling you. So what part of your hand...
But like the heel of my hand.
Oh, okay.
And so it's like I've got enough trouble with my hands as it is because they're itching. You know, they're part of the itch problem. And then the hand issue is coming back a little bit. She took me off of the methotrexate.
Good, good.
And she said, "Well, your hands are, you know, you're not having as much swelling in your hands and knees," which I wasn't. And so for a while, I got a vacation from the methotrexate, but I'm hoping they shouldn't have to put me back on it. I hate that stuff.
Well, if you're dealing with inflammation because of an injury, that's a lot different than autoimmune. and it should.
Oh, no, I know that.
It should resolve. Yeah. So I'd fight to stay off if I were you. But so when you say that this is the bottom outside, well, it, you know, I guess the kind of, how
it's
do I describe
like,
that?
Near kind of at the bottom part of my hand, right by my right where the fleshy part of the left part of my palm is. And because I'm on blood thinners, of course, every time I bump anything, I bruise like crazy.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure.
But, you know, I was starting to have some of the hand pain that I was having before.
Right.
So I didn't really need to do this right now.
But, I don't know. You know, sometimes it might give your mind or your body something to think about, because I've always noticed, being the autoimmune queen, that all the symptoms go away when I have a virus or something for a moment. Like, gee, I'm not in any pain, you know, and then when that heals, I'm back to it. So maybe if your mind is thinking, you know, if your body's thinking about something else, it'll actually give you a break for a minute.
Yeah, it's just, today has just been one of those days, but it's almost over. I had to hassle with the bank over something and, you know, I lost my temper, which I hate when I do that because I try to keep my cool and dealing with these people, but after a while, you know, I'm trying to explain, I said I was blind. I cannot read you that number.
Yeah, right, exactly. which part don't you understand?
Yeah, and I said, blind, do you understand the definition? It means cannot see.
Yeah.
Cannot read. You know, and usually it just happened to be a number she wanted that I didn't have written down, because usually I write them all down so I can read them off to people and that sort of thing. But, you know, anyway, it was just one of those days. But a lot of good songs tonight, so.
Oh, good.
Well,
you guys requested them.
I like both of those versions of "Since I Fell for You."
Yeah.
I think I like the Lenny Welch better, even though I love the Skyliners.
Right. I'm addicted to that Lenny Welch. I came out at mainstream, and I remember when it came out, I thought, "Oh God, what is this?" And then I played it. It's like, "Damn, this is a good record." So
I know.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, I thought I would never. You'd never beat the Skyliners, but I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you there. And it's funny because Eduardo requested a Jackson 5 record, and he said it was Show Me the Way to Go. And I thought to myself, actually, that's Show You the Way to Go. But Gene Chandler and Barbara Acklin did Show Me the Way to Go, and it's a great record, so I'm going to play it.
Well, in my opinion, I don't really care for anything by the Jackson 5.
Yeah, well, you won't have. Well, I will play that for eventually for Eduardo. But I think you'll like the Gene Chandler and Barbara Acklin, though. It is a good record.
All right. Okay. All right.
Good deal. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. Talk to you tomorrow or next week.
Yes, I hope so. Okay, bye. Yes, we have 3 big hours tomorrow, and hopefully you will be part of it. All right. So, it's funny. I see on the screen Kimberly bite advice, and just as I read that, I started to itch. All right. So, let's see. What are we doing here? Let me say goodbye to Chris. I have to free that line because there's nothing else available. Now there's one available for you. But Jim has an update. So, Jim, welcome back to WGN Radio. What's up?
Hey, Rally. This is a funny request.
Uh-oh.
You remember the commercials for X-Spray? In the past, they said, spray it on you, and the women would come running.
Uh-huh.
Well, my biggest joke is spray X-Spray on your arms, and they won't bother you.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. And I've done that before, and they didn't bother me.
Okay, there you go.
I just wanted to tell you that I have a few things that I wanted to talk about. Number one is I haven't heard from the doctor since last Wednesday. So I called his office today and said, have you talked to the other, Dr. So-and-so talked to the other doctor about what to do with my right eye? And she said, oh, yeah, I'll bring it up with him. And I didn't hear back. So in my mind, I'm thinking they thought it was a big thing and they're not, not a big thing, but to me, it's a big thing.
Of course
because
it is.
You know.
Of course it is.
You know, because they told me a year ago that if if that eye dies, they have to take it out, you know.
Oh, God. Well, we're praying that's not the case.
Right.
But your pressures are now, you said they were 21, and 21 actually isn't eye-threatening. You want it lower than that, but it isn't like when you had it at 35. So I think you're in good shape. I mean, I'm no doctor, God knows, but I think you're in good shape at 21. So what else you got?
It's been continuously 20 for the last 5 months.
Yeah, well, you know that's the that's really the upper end of okay.
Right, but it doesn't react. Now it doesn't react to light. That's what's bothering
me. Well, that's a question, and I think they need to get to the bottom of this, and it's interesting that he hasn't talked to the other doctor yet.
Right, and then the other thing is, I mentioned in the past about my brother's wife.
Yes.
You know, last Friday, she had an appointment with the heart doctor, and because they're thinking she has AFib. So he coaxed his wife, who does not want to see doctors, to go. And they went all the way to the doctor's appointment, and they got there, and they said, oh, the doctor has an emergency in the emergency room, and we have to cancel.
Uh-huh.
So then the next day, she was complaining that she couldn't breathe, and her chest hurt and everything. So then he said, let's go to the doctor. She goes, no, no, no. And then Sunday, he said, that's it. And they took her to the emergency room at Aurora Hospital. And it turns out that she has water on the lungs.
Okay.
And then she has blood clots in the lungs.
Dangerous.
And she has AFib.
Okay. A lot of stuff going on there.
Right. And they think the AFib caused the problems in her lungs. So that's what's going on there. And I called him today. I called him every day, and I called him today, and he goes, well, they're working on it. They're working on it. But, you know, they didn't do, you know, he didn't get elaborate on what's going on. She said, oh, she's on a lot of blood thinners, you know. And then he tells me Monday was their anniversary, and he goes, this is the third anniversary in a row that she's been in the hospital.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah, well, I'm glad she's in a hospital based upon what you're telling me, because the biggest danger in the combination you just gave me is stroke risk.
Right. And, you know, and he goes, I think she's doing this on purpose.
No, she's not.
And when he had to make a light on the situation.
Yeah, no, if she could do that on purpose, let's put her on stage. No, she didn't do this on purpose.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
getting old is a bitch. That's all there is to it.
Right. And that's what we're all saying, because we're all in the 70s now, you know?
Yeah.
And I wanted to tell you that the last song you played, I liked the first one better.
Oh, you like the Skyliners better than you like Lenny Welch. Okay. All right. That's fair.
I remember that one.
Sure.
And I'm in, like today it was 85 degrees today, and my brother was supposed to come out and put the air conditioner in the house, the window air conditioner. And, he could, how can you leave his wife,
Well, that, so and then, plus a window air conditioner is not easy to lift for an older guy. Does he have help?
Oh, no, he can lift the refrigerator if he had to.
Oh, God. Well, we don't want him in the next hospital bed.
Right. But I'm just saying. So then my friend came home from her campground, and she's going to shop for me tomorrow. And she says, why the hell isn't your brother coming out there and putting your air conditioner in? And I said, he's watching his wife in the hospital.
You're right, exactly.
And she goes, can't you find someone else to put it in? But then it was lucky, because Bear was panting like hell in the house. Mm-hmm. So we went outside, and the temperature within, like 15 minutes dropped 15 degrees.
Good.
So we were sitting out there in the cool.
Good.
And the next 3 days, it's only going to be in the 70s. So that worked out.
Good.
So it's gotten to the point where I'm just frustrated with everybody thinking that I can solve all the problems sitting here.
Well,
you know?
No, I understand that. But, you know, again, we've talked a lot about this regarding independence and all that. So I'm not going to review that again. But you know where I stand on it.
I'm just saying it's frustrating to me.
It should be, and it should motivate you to become independent.
Right, and I'm working on that.
All right, well, good deal.
I wanted to say, do you remember my six-pack?
Yeah, well, you wanted to, yes, I do remember your six-pack, and let me find it here. Where did it go? I've got the entire list of everybody, I do believe, and...
I know, but you've had, Mike, 100 requests from all these people.
Yeah, well, and literally this list now is 10 pages long.
I can understand
well, I have
that.
I know One Night, play three of my favorites and say they're from you. I have that, but there was another one. Let's see what happened here to it. It wasn't that. I don't know. Maybe I don't.
That was maybe. Buddy Holly.
Yes, I do have it. Buddy Holly, Chubby Checker, Richie Valens, and Chuck Berry. Those are the four I have. If there were six, I don't have the other two. I got Buddy Holly, Chubby Checker.
I said
Checker.
You can play two of them. You can play two of each.
All right. So I already picked out.
If it doesn't take for 2 weeks, that's fine.
Yeah, I already picked out your Chubby Checker, as far as that goes. I did that. And your Buddy Holly. So it'll be a little harder to find something by Richie Valens that's tolerable, but I will. And, of course, Chuck Berry. Yeah, I picked that one out, too.
When I requested it, I go, I don't think she's going to play anything by Richie Valens.
Well, you know, I mean, there's some early stuff, but maybe. But, yeah, my Chuck Berry, I absolutely have a Chuck Berry favorite, so you will hear it.
You can play three of those, you know, it doesn't matter.
That's all right, but we'll get your Buddy Holly, have one of those, too. All right.
And I thank you, and it doesn't have to be tonight.
Okay, good. We will talk to you soon.
Okay, and
thanks.
Thank you for taking my call, and hello to everyone.
Absolutely. All right, so Jim checks in. And yeah, Wednesdays are usually the retinologist's day, but today we got a retinology report. Good enough. So we've got Kimberly, we've got Andrew, we've got Brian, and hopefully we'll have you two coming up right here on WGN Radio.
Should be love, or so many sins that I'm guilty of. If I'm lost in the jungle of life, and my way is out of sight, well, I sure need the way to go. Understanding, and if my ways a little mended, if my love
WGN Radio. That's a great song in a lousy 45, 1968 on Brunswick. I know I've got a cleaner copy of that, and I'll find it. But it is a great, great song, I think. Show me the way to love. All right, so that is inspired by Eduardo's Show You the Way. All right, so all that in mind, we're talking to Andrew in Arlington Heights. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Riley. How are you?
All right. How about yourself?
Oh, you know, I normally wouldn't complain about any ailments, but the weather's been beautiful out here today, and I was in the garden, and I got stung on my forearm by a bee.
No.
I'm looking at my forearm. I look like Popeye tonight.
Oh, man.
Unbelievable.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, so early in the season to get the bee sting so early. But anyway, I was calling in. I just was thinking about a memory as a kid. I remember two things, and one I really got in trouble for with my parents. You know, we used to see the commercials on TV for those K-Tel albums.
Yes.
And you'd order the album, and then you find out it's not the original artist.
Well,
and it was so disappointing. Who produced those, and why would they do that?
Well, it's worse than that. Actually, they were the original artist, but they were not the original 45 version. Usually, that's the way. It was a re-sing. And the guy who started this was a guy named Philip Kives, hence K-Tel. And he was probably the first guy to do infomercials, selling, you know, kitchen gadgets long before Ron Popeil. And he was Canadian, and he... What he realized was that albums, of course, back then they're only $2.99, but even so, only had one or at most two hit songs, and the rest was filler. So he thinks, what I need to do is get a high volume of hits. Of course, that costs money if you're licensing the original 45s. And so I think one of the first he did was 26 country hits. And that actually did well and, of course, inspired him to do more. And my favorite wasn't the re-sings, although that drove me crazy. My favorite was when he wanted to get 20 original stars, 20 original hits on one long, long playing album. He would just fade them out. They wouldn't be the whole songs. Which was hilarious. And, you know, he did.
Yeah, you'd be listening and you're like, what's going on here? You know, he thought something was wrong with the album.
And he did license the deals directly with the label, but he was paying so little that he was usually licensing alternate tracks. You know, like if a group made 10 different attempts at the song, the one that hit the 45 was not necessarily the one that was going to be on a KTEL album. And the big thing was to put 20 to 25 songs on there. And of course, you know, 25 songs, you're basically going to edit them down. And he had no problem with that. But it was the television commercials where they marketed it. And of course, they were, you know, they were going for how cheap it was to get these wonderful hits. And they, by the early 70s, they were in like 34 countries. I mean, I saw a commercial once in German, and he was doing really well for a while. And there were a couple things that happened with him that had nothing to do with records. He got into high-risk real estate ventures and also invested in oil exploration, obviously, Alberta. But anyhow, the other thing was the major labels were starting to get hip to the fact that maybe we shouldn't do this so cheaply. And so they filed Chapter 11 by 84. And I think they tried to come back at some point. But basically, the version you're talking about was 66 to 84.
Yeah. The other thing that got me in trouble, if you remember the Columbia Record Club.
Oh, do I ever. Out of Terre Haute, Indiana, because that was the largest Columbia pressing plant. Sure.
Riley, I got to tell you know, my sisters and I, we all saved our money up.
Yep.
And it was, I can't remember what it was, $9.99 or something like that. But we didn't read the fine print that you were going to get a new album every month.
Right, and you had to let them know in advance that you didn't want it or you would be billed. That was the gimmick.
Right.
And the lost leader was you usually could pick out 10 records to start. And so it was like this unbelievably great deal. But then every month they were mailing you something and you literally had to notify them in advance, usually by that postcard, or that album came and you were billed.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it got us in so much trouble with our parents.
Oh, of course.
They were like, where is this coming from? You know, and it was very difficult to even find where to write to stop the albums from coming. They made it.
Oh, anyway, absolutely.
A childhood memory I was thinking about, and I just thought I'd call in and share it with you.
100%, and that was big money for Columbia Records, trust me. And because that pressing plant did a lot of things, but that record club, that was big through the 70s even. And I remember it very well because I worked at Epic, and absolutely. And I was so shocked because that was the biggest pressing plant, and to me that was the thing that should still be operational, and it's not. It's gone.
Well, and the other thing too was, I think, is if you didn't specify an artist, they would send you some random album, and then you had no way to return it. I mean, it just was.
Once that album arrived, it was yours, and it was going to be something like Allie Willis doing Child Star. That's not an exaggeration.
Right.
They actually sent that out. So yes, I know.
Great.
Yeah.
All right, Riley, well, you have a great morning and good talking with
Thanks
you.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Yeah, absolutely. I remember that. Oh, gosh, I've run out of the hour. Well, Brian with a Y and Kimberly and Dalton and Gary and Austin and James on the South Side are all coming up next hour here on WGN Radio.
One night Farmer Brown was taking the air, locked up the barnyard with the greatest of care. Down in the hen house something stirred when he shouted, "Who's there?" This is what he heard: "There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. So calm yourself and stop that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. We chickens trying to sleep, and you butt in and hobble, 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 hobble with your chin. There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. You're stomping around and shaking the ground. You're kicking up an awful dust. We chickens trying to sleep, and you butt in and hobble, 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 hobble. It's a sin. Tomorrow is a busy day. We got things to do. We got eggs to lay. We got ground to dig and worms to scratch. It takes a lot of setting, getting chicks to hatch. Oh, there ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself and stop that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. Kindly point that gun the other way and hobble, hobble, hobble off and hit the hay.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yes, Louis Jordan, I loved him. Ain't Nobody Here But Us Chickens, 1946 on Decca, and Floyd in Iowa wanted to hear that. All right, so let's see here. Kimberly's going to give me some bite advice, and I want to hear it. How's it going, Kimberly?
Oh, fine, Raleigh. How are you doing?
Scratching away.
Yeah, we were listening to you because I'm sitting here baking, starting for my 70th birthday in the show. So I was baking, and Mom and I were listening to you. And we have two things to tell you. She's used Vicks since she was a young girl. She had nosebleeds, but for congestion, and also if you have achy shoulders, fungal toenails, whatever, the worst it works. But it also works on bites. It takes the irritation away for a while.
Okay.
That and liquid soap, and I've done them personally, and they both work. And if you rub Vicks on your arms and legs in exposed areas, if you're out in the garden or the yard, it'll help keep the bees and the mosquitoes away as well.
All right, just standard Vicks Vapo Rub?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do it.
The eucalyptus in there.
Yes,
and,
it is.
And my mom is feeling better tonight. She wanted to give you a quick hello. So here she is.
Okay. All right.
Hello, Raleigh. So you sound so good.
Well, thanks.
And you know, you're so real. You're so genuine. Well, it's nice hawks. You really are patient.
Well, it's good to hear from you, Jean. You're sounding great, but you always do.
Well, you know, I have to. You know, there's so many people that are so sick in my family. Yeah. You know, my granddaughter that was born with cancer, and now, you know, at 4 years old, and we thought everything was going well. So she took a study program.
Yeah.
You know, to travel Europe to work in the hospital.
Right.
And she got very sick.
Oh.
So her family had to bring her home.
Uh-huh.
And now she's under so much care. Oh. And she has no weight to lose because she's so thin.
Right.
And she is under, we won't know until Tuesday.
Oh.
With the hematologist.
Okay.
Why she's bleeding where she is. She's bleeding terribly.
And she's bleeding internally. Do they know where?
No, we won't know till Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
They brought her back. They picked her up in France in the hospital there and got her here.
Oof.
And, of course, they live in Indiana. So she's in the Indiana hospital.
Is this Elizabeth's sister or is this a cousin?
No, this is my grandson. He's 48 years old.
Okay.
And he was divorced from his wife.
Okay.
And when she, you know, after, you know, all that happened with the cancer. But we thought, you know, we had these good years because she was at that big Riley's Children's Hospital in Indiana.
Indianapolis, sure.
Yeah, and they took her intestines and made a bladder with the catheter. She had the catheter all these years.
Good.
But the thing was, she was doing real well. She was traveling.
Yeah.
They go on a study group, and they go from state. She was in Slovenia and Portugal, Cambodia. She might have caught something. This is what I'm thinking.
I don't know. But I'll tell you what. I think it's a real good thing that she had the experience, that she went, and those are memories that she'll have. But hopefully they'll get to the bottom of why and what part of her body is breaking down. But I'll bet you it's not infectious.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, so.
I just hope the cancer didn't come back. She just is going to be 20.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and I hope.
Life's a bitch. Now, what's her first name?
Well, you know, it's a Greek name because that's how the Greek people do that. You know, Kimberly's husband was Greek. So they named her Theodosia because the father, you go by the father's name, he was Theodosius.
Okay.
I called her Thea, and that's what she goes by today.
All right. Thea, all right.
And I like Thea very much. I went to school with Thea.
Well, I will put Thea on my prayer list.
Well, I thank you.
Sure.
We won't know till Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday.
I'll be in and out of the hospital at the, the U of I all this week. Because they don't like 92-year-old women, the doctors, but I got colon rectal, and I've got eyes. I got to put in my primary, my uro. All in 1 week for Kim's birthday. So that's why Kimberly started. We had Olive Garden today, and she's baking my chocolate chip cookies, and here we are, the Nighthawks.
Yeah. Well, I'm delighted to hear from you, and hopefully the tests will go well and they'll find something.
Thank you. We all do. My grandson is so upset. It's, he's a strong kid, but this has taken a toll on him.
Sure it has.
And it's not easy, with life, I told him, I says, you'll get through it. We just have to go through so many obstacles, and that's how it is,
Well,
when I was going to tell you to tell Fran, too, that if she gets some Salantas for her hand, that's one of the good products for, when you hit your hand, because my bones are very weak. That's
one
of the things.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. Right. Absolutely. That and Icy Hot. Yeah. Strangely enough. I agree.
But the thing is, it's one of the things you just have to kind of help what you can yourself.
Yes, absolutely.
And I found out that, I always had to, because I was on my own, and here I am, the last of eight children. So I think I did pretty good.
Absolutely. And now, on a happy note, how's Christopher doing?
Oh, my goodness. She sends pictures every day.
Good.
And he is so adorable. So he's rolling over, and he's doing everything. He takes his feet and puts them in his mouth, and he just is going to be athletic, I think.
Right.
And all the little things he does. So I told her, I said, being that he takes the phone from me, from Elizabeth, and turns me off. He pushes the button already, and he knows my voice.
Yeah.
And he calls and does that. I says, tomorrow, I says, I'm going to sell you some money, and you can kick off a couple of tennis balls. I says, and have him throw that and kick that and see what he does with it. Because, all these fancy little toys that everybody bought him, they don't really pay attention except their little favorite one, And I says, you make sure, I says, in the morning, I says, you go get him, the tennis balls and see what he does with them. And I bet you he'll be pushing that and throwing them, because that's how strong he is.
Yeah.
He's really strong. I can't believe it. But he comes from strong men, so I guess that must be it, too.
Yeah.
But, and I said to Kimberly, I says, I said, you cheered me up, because she hasn't made cookies in quite a long while.
Nice.
The way we eat them.
Yeah.
And I think it was so sweet, because her 70th birthday is the 5th, and nobody will be here. Elizabeth and the baby are in New York, and Nicholas will be waiting for all his, his daughter's things, which he has to.
Yeah.
So it's a treadmill, but we'll do it. My husband, his fingers were all cut off on my birthday in July 2nd of 1955, I had my big wedding planned, a big high mass and the whole bit for September 10th. And we got through it with skin grafts, living with it. His whole hand was bandaged on our wedding day, and I couldn't even put the wedding band because that was the left hand.
Right.
But anyway, we got through so much. So life is not easy for anybody. It's just life, and it's crazy. And now this crazy world out there, you make it better. And when I can know, I know that the world's going to be a better place for people like you, that you're so understanding, and you're real. So many people aren't real. You're genuine. And you and John make a wonderful couple, and I wish you, both of you, a long life. And I hope you get over the bites. I hope
the
mix will help you, because I found out I had it all my life, practically.
All right. No,
I love it.
It will be fine, and it's always good to hear from you, and keep me posted on your tests.
Oh, thank you. Oh, it's going to be a rough week. Yeah. But they're going to be picking me up, bringing me home because, you know, of my other problems and my female problems.
Yeah.
Because I can't, you know, sit that long.
Right.
You know. But anyway, we'll make it. We'll make it.
I know
I've been
will.
Through it.
All right.
You just have to go along with life. And all your listeners, we can be, you know, I think the same thing I do, that we're grateful for you.
Well, that's so kind of you. I'm grateful for you. I'd be talking to myself otherwise, and that would not be fun. So thank you.
Don't forget the green soap, too.
Yeah.
The green soap I did for many years. So it's wonderful stuff for anything like that.
Okay,
so
thanks.
Take care, both of you. You know, take care of yourself.
Okay? Talk to you soon, I hope. Okay, thanks. Okay, bye.
And thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Yeah, sounded great. And 92. Doesn't sound it, does she? Not at all. All right, so that's great. We'll get to Brian with a Y from Florida coming up next. And I said I would play the Jackson 5 for Eduardo. I hope he's listening because it's coming up next on WGN Radio. James, I'm glad Eduardo requested that because I forgot it was actually a pretty decent record. 1977 on Epic. Gamble and Huff wrote it and produced it, so that explains it right there, don't you think? All right, so 888-876-5593. Brian with a Y is in Florida. What's up tonight, Brian?
Hey, Raleigh, you were talking a few minutes ago to that charming lady and lamenting that it's no fun to talk to yourself. I find it fun talking to myself a lot, and I hope you at least find it marginally fun to take my calls rather than just regarding me as your most unsufferable contributor. That said, I had to take, I'm not going to call it a vacation, I had to take a break from your show. I had obligations, so I missed probably 4 or 5 of your last 2.5 weeks of broadcast, and I'm now desperately afraid that during one of those shows I missed, that you fulfilled a promise you made to me, and more important, all the WGN listeners eavesdropping at 720 kilohertz. You promised you were going to play, and maybe you already did, and I missed it. Alan Freed, Air Checks from Cleveland. I'm not talking, I mean, everybody that pays attention to rock and roll has seen him on stage doing emceeing thing in movies in the late 50s and even early 60s, I think, even though he was discredited by them. But I saw him in 1 or 2 films, I think as late as 61 or 62, and
well,
of course he died in 62.
You know, he was sitting right there in Miami.
Well, I was sitting in St. Louis in 1962.
Yeah, he was
But I digress. Anyway, did you play that Alan Freed air check from his Cleveland show?
I'm glad
which,
you brought
it. Growing up in St. Louis, I never got to hear his show, and I bet a lot of WGN listeners have never heard him. And you said it was he wasn't a very good disc jockey.
No,
I want you
not.
To prove it
he's
by
not.
Playing an air check,
all
if
right.
you haven't already.
I have not already. I have it on my list, but I will play that tomorrow night for you, and I will do that.
Oh, well, I'm going to be... I don't care if Trump wants to meet with me for advice tomorrow night. I'm going to cancel the meeting. I'll be tuned in, I promise. Won't call him, but I'll be listening, unless I'm in the morgue, which is always a possibility at age 71. That said, another one of your fascinating callers is Johnny down in Houston, and I made a request of... I'm not sure he was listening that night, but I think he listens pretty much every night, and I made a request of him. I mean, it's pretty selfish of me, but I did live in Houston. Didn't enjoy it, but I lived in Houston from June of 1978 to June of 1980, before I went out to Hollywood.
Okay.
And tried to become a star, and did as best as I could do in talk radio in the final analysis. But that said, those 2 years I spent in Houston, I'm betting I heard his show, because I used to dial up and down the kilohertz band, as well as that dreaded megahertz band. I think it's called FM. Hardly ever listened to it, because they're hardly ever worth listening to. But on the AM band, I listen to everything, even stations I have no interest in, like religious stations and the like. So I'm betting I heard Johnny, if he was on the air, and I think he was back then.
Yeah.
I need to hear from Johnny what shows he did on what stations in what time slots, and I bet I'm going to remember hearing him. You think he can maybe come up with that roster for us?
Okay, you want 78 to 80. Okay.
I was there June 78 to June 1980 when I headed out to L.A.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if he's listening, and we will find out.
Yeah, okay. That said, speaking of Houston radio, I mean, that guy knows everything about Houston radio,
absolutely.
And that's why I'm amazed at having listened to him, I don't know how many minutes, but probably hours now over the last few months. Johnny has never mentioned, to me, the most interesting two names in Houston radio history, or at least those 2 years when I was there. And there's a story behind the team known as Hudson Ampersand Harrigan. Harrigan. You know about them, don't you?
Very well, but he absolutely has talked about that.
I missed those shows.
Hang
my
on
apology,
a minute.
I'll try to do better.
Don't go away. We'll do the news, and then we'll get Brian's closing remarks, and we're going to get Johnny to tell us about June 78 to June 80. And, of course, we can do Hudson and Harrigan's stories. Absolutely coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. and those are the ex-ambassadors. And that was what Brian and Seneca wanted to hear, 2015 on Interscope Renegades, proving I'll play anything. All right, back to Brian here. And as you know, there were at least a dozen Hudson and Harrigans over the years.
How do you feel about that? I was annoyed when I first learned that buff in Houston. I hated that.
No,
not the fact they were working under phony names. Everybody does that. In fact, your name is really Raleigh James. But how do you feel about people pretending to be a comedy team that they're not? I hate the idea.
No, well, the deal is it was a house name, and McClendon owned it, and that's why there were several. And that's not unusual.
I understand, but
you were in St. Louis. It's like
the misleading of the audience.
No, not at all. It's like the Johnny Rabbits on KXOK. No, I don't have a problem.
I had the same complaint when I finally met the second Johnny Rabbit. I complained to him about that. And he said, "What can you do?"
Well, yeah, and of course, you know, it was Charlie and Harrigan in Dallas, and the same thing. But the originals, I worked with Hudson in KFMB in San Diego, but it was, you know, Mac Hudson Roach and Paul Menard. And Paul Menard had been at Cliff before that. Then, of course, they did that 67 to 72, so arguably that was the originals probably are the greatest. But then Stevens and Pruitt, who did well there, and they had Tommy Kramer and Bo Weaver. And then the last guys were Fred Olson played Hudson and Randy Haynes played Harrigan. And he wrote a book about it, I think. I've never read it, but he did. So that was the deal there. But this was everywhere. I mean, how many Papa Stoppas were there in New Orleans? And worse yet, they were all white, you know, so it's not unusual.
Well, I know it's not unusual. I'm just saying it's infuriating from the perspective of a radio listener.
No, not at all. I mean, I don't take any of this stuff seriously. They're just there to entertain me. I don't want to get to know them. I don't care who they are. You know, it's kind of like
I take the Raleigh James show as seriously
as I do a
massacre of 100 people.
Do not.
This is a jewel in radio history.
No, do not.
And I'm going to take it seriously even if you don't. That said, as a coda, this needs to be said, and I've never heard this point made on any talk radio program anywhere, even though all kinds of people, justifiably and quite understandably, talk about Eric Blair, better known to history, of course, as Orwell, George Orwell.
Yeah, right.
Of course. Anybody that went through high school should know that. Mm. And anybody who went to high school, public high school in America, probably read in ninth grade a book that I do not think a novel that I do not think should be assigned. Orwell wrote several novels, but there's only two that anybody read anymore. And everybody in ninth grade gets assigned Animal Farm, which, of course, is a fable. And that's the reason it is assigned. What they should be doing, I didn't get 1984 assigned until senior year. I've read it now, I guess, four full times over the last 40 years. But the first time was in senior year of high school in 1973. And I was, no reason to cite all the reasons that book is hugely important to history, not just to literature. But the point I'm making is it's a mistake to put Animal Farm in front of it. And the reason they do is because they want to train the ninth graders about the notion of metaphor and how a fable can actually reflect a reality, in this case, Stalinism. And I'm glad that I read it for one reason and one reason. I hated the book. I think it was an insult, and I think these movies, there's been several movies of it. I refuse to see them. One of them is a cartoon, for God's sake, animation. But there's no reason to focus on that when you've got 1984 instead to focus on. And, of course, as anybody that paid attention in English class, I was one of the few in my high school, unfortunately, I'm here to tell you and the whole WGN audience, the title is not the numerical 1984. It's spelled out.
Yes.
84 hyphenated. And why everybody forgets that? Well, because it's a lot easier just to throw up four numerals. But the reason Animal Farm, like I said, is assigned, it's to try to illustrate literary technique. And most of that's lost on ninth graders. So let's flip it. If you're going to assign Animal Farm, make it senior year. Make 1984 freshman year, and maybe all these uneducated, undereducated eighth graders that get into high school in America, in public schools I'm talking about, who have never heard of Orwell, much less Stalin, for God's sake. Okay. They're going to learn about Stalin real quickly when they read 1984, even though Stalin's name is never mentioned in the book, as you well know. So 1984, not Animal Farm, and thank you for letting me be.
You have spoken. All right.
The greatest show in talk radio history.
Thanks for calling, Brian. I appreciate it. All right, so yes, no, you know, I wasn't assigned either of those, but I would think they'd stay away from 1984 now because it's more like history or current events. Yeah, that's right. It's civics. Yeah, no, I don't remember much about school, but I do remember Heinrich Ibsen and Franz Kafka. Yeah, Gregor Samsa awoke one morning to discover he had been transformed into a giant insect. That's my favorite part of the producers, when Zero Mostel throws it aside and says, too good, all right, when they were looking for things that ultimately they found in Springtime for Hitler, but I digress. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Eduardo's in Tampa. What's up, Eduardo? I hope you heard your song.
Yes, I did. Thank
All
you
right.
very much for that.
Yeah, I'm glad you requested it. Yeah, it was actually a decent song. I was pleasantly surprised to remember that.
Yeah. Well, everything's going good with the job. I actually was off yesterday and today. I'm going in tomorrow and Saturday. We did have one individual who was very annoying because he didn't want anybody touching him. But we had the nurses there, and I don't know, something happened to one of his eyes. Looked like I don't want to say that somebody hit him, but it was swollen.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and I think I heard that he might have came from like some area where they were abusive. So hopefully that wasn't the case, but hopefully that guy gets better. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was gonna lighten up things here. I saw this. In the Tampa Times here, Scott Remmer, this guy charges $180 an hour. He's coached five spelling bee. They got the scripts going on right now. And the guy knows Chinese, Spanish.
Okay.
He was born in the suburbs of Cleveland. He now lives in Mexico City is what it says.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yes, he coached the 2025 champ and the 2023 champ.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we can't spell either. By the way, we can't spell either of those guys' names. So, you know, it's like Faizan Zaki and Dev Shah or something. Yeah. So,
there's a couple of people they mentioned in here. Naveen Morale, University of Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
He charges $50. That's a better. Grace Walters, she charges $75 an hour. She's from University of Kentucky.
Well, other than being in the news for 2 days, what's the advantage to being a spelling bee champion?
You could become a good journalist, I'm going to say.
Well, I think you could do that without winning the spelling bee.
Yeah. If you know now, do people really spell that good now because of all that social media that they're on?
Well, no, people forget spelling. I mean, they absolutely eviscerate grammar. Oh, my dear God. And, I guess they get like $50,000 in cash and prizes, and that's nice. I think it's a part of Scripps Company. But beyond that, I don't know other than bragging rights. And, you know, $50,000 isn't small, I guess. And then I think Merriam-Webster gives them another $2,500 or whatever. So that's nice. But for the most part, and the runners-up get money too, like $25,000 for second place or what have you.
Okay.
But, you know. I mean, it's fine if a kid wants to do it. I wouldn't encourage a kid to do it if they did not want to do it. But if the kid wanted to do it, great.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is...
And
this
by
is
the way...
They're doing something good.
There are words that the rest of us can't pronounce, usually, that they fail on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, over the years...
It looks like a foreign language or something else.
Exactly. I mean, over the years, that's why it wasn't too interesting to me when I realized, oh, these are not words in common parlance at all. I'm going to see if I can find a list. All right, let's see what we've got. All right. I can't... Eclaircissement, and that's what Faizan Zaki one with, Eclair Sissaman. Sounds like a dessert to me. Mauro Kane, Koinonoia. Okay. Lillooet, Lilloet. All right. Well, there you have it. For 2024, the winning word was abseil, A-B-S-E-I-L. 2018, koinonoia or whatever, Greek. 2017. Yeah, because everybody says that in America, right? I mean, I thought this was funny because 2016, at least I've heard of Feldenkrais. But, you know, the other word, I think it was a tie or something, and a Gesellschaft or something. No, just no. Not a canthouse. What? A marine fish? I'm sure known for having spines on its back. Weltschmerz, a 2006 knockout word denoting a feeling of world weariness. You have Weltschmerz. Oh, sure you do. I mean, that's the part where it kind of loses me. I don't think anybody's going to put any of these words in an email. In 1928, it was albumin. Okay, well, that's egg white. That's something I've actually heard of. So albumin, I'll take that. That's a good word. 29, asceticism. Yes, absolutely. I know what that is. And that's not a problem. And soubrette. Okay, that's a vocal range, I believe, and I'll take that. Crustaceology, the study of crustaceans. See, so far, and we're not very far along here. 1969, interlocutory. Okay, yeah, absolutely, and that's you know legal action. That's easy. So I don't know when we got to words that no one has realized are in a dictionary. And maybe they're not, I don't know.
Or used in a daily basis, yeah.
Right, right. Macerate. All right. Now, do you know what macerate means? That's M-A-C-E-R-A-T-E, macerate. To soften food by soaking it in liquid. And that was the 1972 winning word, macerate. All right, then.
Oh, wow.
We have hydrophyte in 74. Okay, I that has to do with water or whatever. But most of these words are just no one is saying them, period.
Yeah, but it's good to see these young people, you know, do competition like this, so that's good.
Well, the best, I like
they're
this.
Doing something good.
1988, the word was elegiacal. Okay, means sorrowful or lamenting. But the best part is, the one who won it, I couldn't pronounce their name. Ragashri Ramachandran. Hell.
Oh, wow.
Spelling the entrance names would be just as hard.
Yeah, the contestant's name, yeah. That'd be a challenge, yeah.
Yeah, now this is interesting. 1989, spoliator. Now, come on. That shouldn't get anybody in a lot of trouble. Someone who plunders or robs. A 14-year-old from Colorado named Scott Isaacs won for spoliator. Lyceum? Yeah, I would think we know what that is. So a 13-year-old, Amanda Goad from Virginia, got that. So some of these words, okay. But antediluvian? Sure. Taking place before the Great Flood in the Bible, yes. And Ned Andrews, 13-year-old from Tennessee, knew that. Very good. But then you get some of these where, you know, give me a break. You know, poco curante. Poco curante. Means apathetic. Nope, never use that, I can't tell you.
Yeah, I was in hemline school in back of the yards, and I tied a girl. Me and a girl just went back and forth. We couldn't break the tie, and then we went down the hallway and then went for the school and, you know, competed there. So, but, yeah, I mean, I had a good time doing this spelling thing.
Well, yeah. And if
in hemline school.
I think it's great. If kids have a good time doing this, then they should do it. No problem whatsoever. But nobody should be goaded into it or anything like that. You don't want to do it? Just as good. I guarantee you life will be fine if you can't pronounce, I can't pronounce them at all, but Getapaw, which is G-U-E-T-A-P-E-N-S, Getapaw. And that was Snigdha Nanapati, maybe. A 14-year-old from California. get a paw. That, by the way, is a snare, you know, or a trap. Okay, well, that is a little hard for me. So, I don't know, I guess, good for them. But, they're making a living being the coach on top of that. So now, I guess, if you really want your kid to stand out, you buy him a coach. And the guy from Mexico City is cleaning up.
Yeah.
Good old Scott.
Well, I'm going to go with the students that charge $50 and $75. That's a little bit more affordable.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, Scott's written books, so maybe that's it. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I think one of them was on, like, Eastern Orthodox terminology. Well, that might be all the words they're using.
Yeah. So, and he's a young guy, too, like 30-something, yeah.
And he's a graduate, summa cum laude, at Cambridge
University. Yale University, I think,
At Cambridge and Yale. So I got his master's in Cambridge and got his undergraduate, his summa cum bow wow, at Yale. Yeah. All right. So that's right. He placed himself, I don't know, he placed 34th in 2007 and 4th in 2008. I don't know. I'm not sure that, I guess he's learned a lot since then. So, but big publishing books, some of them have like 450 pages. So there you have lots of words.
Wow.
Plenty of words.
Yeah.
So there you have it. All right.
Okay, well, Raleigh, I'll let you go.
Thanks for calling.
And I have some good calling tomorrow.
Appreciate it. All right.
Okay. So, thank you very much. Okay.
So, yes. So you have to know Eastern Orthodox Church terminology, tribe names. Yeah, right. Trademarks. God knows what else. So, I guess they had those when I was a kid, but I don't ever remember, because I assume they start in the classroom, and then they work it up to whoever gets to be the winner. But, just like 1984, I didn't have that. We didn't have a spelling bee that I recall, but maybe I just don't recall a lot, which is probably more like it. I was probably too busy listening to the radio. Speaking of which, we'll talk to Gary in Austin, and we got James on the South Side coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, Raleigh James will forgo the bumper because we've only got a few minutes left, but timely what Eduardo was saying, because the spelling bee is going on as we speak. I think tomorrow is the big day. There's nine children who are the finalists. My favorite name, Zwi Spacetime. I hope Zwi wins. Yeah, I have no idea. But apparently our buddy Scott that we were talking about, the only full-time coach for the spelling bee, $180 an hour, don't you know? But 2024 and one other year, he's gotten a couple winners. So there you have it. Gary and Austin, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Well, I hope Zwi Spacetime wins just because of the name.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
That's exactly it. Because everybody else's name, like Bailey or Gupta or Gautamakala, but Zwi Spacetime from Washington, D.C., that's too good.
Yeah. So, I hope he wins. Or she.
Yeah. Yeah. 14-year-old competitive speller, the younger brother of the 2021 National Spelling Bee champion, Zalia Avantgarde. Where do they get these names?
I don't know.
Where? And how could he be the younger brother of someone named Avantgarde and he's named Spacetime? All right. I don't know. I got to do some work after the show because, tomorrow we got something to open with. Yeah, man. They buy in last names.
True.
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
All right. I want to know more.
My last name's bad enough. So,
right.
Brian was talking about the various Hudsons and Harrigans.
Right, yes.
And I remember the last one, Randy Hames and Fred Olson. I remember hearing them. Remember hearing Fred as Fred Kennedy on KNUS. And
right.
Randy Hames worked around DFW. So I could never remember which one was Hudson and which one was
Fred
Harrigan.
Was Hudson so and Randy was Harrigan.
So I just called him Hames and Kennedy. That's how I
worked
him.
For me, exactly.
And, there are a lot more things in life to worry about than how many people are using the same names at various stations.
Not for Brian. And I think that's wonderful to have a life where that is a thought that maybe you're thinking about as you're drifting off to sleep. No, I'd love to have that. That's a luxury.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
I'd like to, be able to just be upset about that.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Something that doesn't affect my life at all.
Right.
What names people use on the radio. It does not affect my life. Things like, a leaky hole in my roof or...
Well, exactly.
getting hurt. Things right. like that affect
yes,
my life.
Right. Breathing, we're actually,
somebody
yes.
somebody is doesn't, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, being, you know, having a cold. So, but, you know, but you were talking about a short wave earlier.
Yeah.
And, did Carl McIntyre on WIND?
You know, Carl was on shortwave for a while. Yeah, Carl C. McIntyre, 20th Century Reformation Hour of Collingswood, New Jersey. Yeah. But, you know, of course, he lost the license from the media station. But he was for a while.
Right.
And remember, he was a pirate for a while. He had a boat. I think yeah, it was in, like, the Delaware River right. or something crazy.
Yeah,
Off
Cape May someplace.
Right, exactly. Yes. All right. Oh, John says I'm not at time. We'll talk to you tomorrow night, Gary. All right. Apologies
okay,
to James.
Okay, great. Thanks.
And Adam says, that's it, Raleigh. Shut up. I can do that very well. All right. So that is a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air. We thank John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. 21 hours from now, we do it again. So join me then on WGN Radio.